Well, we're not only back with today's talking point. Asra Nomani is author of Standing Alone, An American Woman's Struggle for the Soul of Islam. She's also co-director of the Pearl Project, and the Washingtonian magazine has just published her latest piece called This is Danny Pearl's Final Story. Welcome to our program.
Thank you so much.
Remind our listeners, if you will, of who Danny Pearl was. What happened on that day when you were, along with his wife, the last person to see him?
Well, Danny was a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. He was a wonderful, vibrant human being who really taught me how to have fun in this world. We were both in Pakistan after the September 11th attacks in the U.S. as journalists, trying to figure out what had happened and who was behind the 9/11 plots. Danny had come to a home that I had rented in Karachi, Pakistan, with his wife, Marianne, and on that day, on January 23rd, 2002, when we last saw him, we waved goodbye to him as he went off for an interview where he thought he might interview a man believed to be the facilitator for Richard Reed, the alleged shoe bomber at that time.
So he went off to do that and, in fact, was then kidnapped and, of course, brutally murdered. What was the Pearl Project, and how did that come about?
Well, from the minute that we just realized that Danny was missing and he had arrived late, Marianne and I started investigating. That summer, four men were convicted in Danny's kidnapping and murder. But what I realized over the years was that there were many other men who were suspected of being involved. The Pearl Project was started at Georgetown in 2007, many years after Danny's kidnapping, to try to solve the mystery of who had actually been involved in kidnapping Danny and killing him and trying to finish the final story that he was reporting.
So this became a kind of obsession with you.
It really did. You know, I wanted to find the truth that was left behind when Danny wasn't brought back. There was the sadness that we had, sort of like Marines feel, I think, where you never want to leave your buddy behind, and we couldn't save his life. But as journalists, we're all trying to find out the truth of the most horrific in this world, and that was what I had to find out for myself.
Why were you skeptical about the four men who had been convicted? And what clues did you finally end up examining in order to determine that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was really the killer?
Well, in the 5 weeks that we stayed in Karachi after Danny's kidnapping, we learned a lot about those four guys that were convicted. They were the mastermind and then these three men who were involved in delivering the ransom note. They had never even seen Danny once he'd been taken into captivity. One of the first clues we got was a witness, a guard who had seen Danny on the last day of his life. And those were out of reports that we got from cooperative Pakistani police sources. Finally, cooperative FBI agents here, who were also frustrated with the truth being left behind, gave us window into this last bit of evidence, this idea that the hand of the man who held the knife that killed Danny had distinguishable vein patterns. And those same vein patterns had been noticed on the hand of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the man who had confessed to committing the 9/11 attacks.
You had to look at the video. You had to see the pattern of veins on that hand. And then you went to Guantanamo. Tell us about that.
Yeah, you know, we had a FBI source who delivered to us a clear copy of the video that documented that hand, and much clearer than these copies that are on the internet. And so over and over again, I chose to watch that video. I didn't have to watch it, but I knew in that video was a last bit of evidence we could find on to identify the murderer. I went then to Guantanamo because I thought I needed to be face-to-face with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. He had confessed to killing Danny with his blessed right hand, as he put it. And so I took that journey to this dark underbelly, you know, of our world. And I was shocked and surprised at what awaited me in that day that I sat in that courtroom with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed in front of me.
But you saw the hand.
I did. I couldn't even think about looking at his hand for many, many hours. I kept looking at his face. I kept looking at his mouth moving as he would murmur with his friends, the co-defendants. And I finally, towards the end of the day, realized as the video camera that brought us images from inside the courtroom that I needed to see his hand. And slowly the camera would focus, and I kept wishing for it to focus clearer and clearer. Finally, I saw his hand. I believed that it is the same hand that I saw in the murder video. I mean, this is not the kind of evidence that would, you know, convict a defendant in court, but in my heart, this is what I saw.
And it's both the beginning and the end of this is Daniel Pearl's final story, your article in the Washingtonian magazine. Thank you so much for telling us about it, Asra Nomani. Very good to have you on our program.
Thank you so much, Warren.
Also the author of Standing Alone, an American Woman's Struggle for the Soul of Islam.